Welcome back to another episode of KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. I'm James L. Crockett here in the new and improved KXRW Studios. Alongside me, we have in studio David Mace.
How's it going?
Caleb Roush.
How's it going, everybody?
And as always, wireless Mike Koreski.
Well, thank you very much, Sonny. Good to see you all. And also special shout out to our producer, Jono. Thanks for stepping in and dealing with this bunch of rabble-rousers, as we are. Speaking of rabble-rousing, it is MLB opening day. And I guess someone who's just kind of in, I'm into it. I've been bitten by the bug for decades. And one of my favorite days because hope springs eternal, no matter what. But this year, on the Mariners' 50th anniversary season, they have the second best odds to go to the World Series. And I never thought I would see that in my lifetime.
So what you're saying?
So right now I'm just like, oh my, this is great.
So what you're saying is 50 times is a charm?
Yeah, exactly. 50th time is a charm. But remember the saying, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And what a journey it has been.
Well, I remember 30 years ago, they were coming off of 1995, and that was like the first team I really thought had the best chance of going all the way, as it was just coming off their first ever playoff appearance. And that season ended up miserably because injuries just beset them. But it was also one of the first, like, King Griffey Jr. major seasons that he had from start to finish, but they couldn't match it up with what they needed to. This, though, it's like coming in from this season, it's a whole different perspective when you got to where they got last season coming into this year.
Totally. Well, and the difference between this squad and then the early 2000 squads and even the mid to late 90s squads is, you know, they're starting to amass, like, you know, three or four, like, key dudes to hit, but now the pitching has depth. You know, the starters have depth. There's a couple guys in double A who are going to be ready maybe by the end of the year to come up and be like the next wave. So that's kind of exciting because as a Mariner fan, you never had a next wave. You just had this wave and you waited for it to crash.
Well, you always had one or the other.
Like, yeah,
you
either exactly.
You had a team on the field like in 2001 or in the mid-90s where, like I said, you had, you know, really good playoff aspirations, but you didn't have anything to back it up. So now it seems like they've got that. They put the money into the team this year when they brought back Josh Naylor on his free agent deal. They brought in by trade Brendan Donovan. But yet still, they have the ammunition in the minor leagues as well to build something that's sustainable.
Yeah,
it's not just a one-year thing or a two-year thing. They have something that they can build on for the long term.
Well, and as well, they have the depth in the minors they can still trade from. And they traded a couple of top 10 guys in the organization for Donovan. They still got one or two more pieces they could deal with at the deadline if they need to do that. But this year is like the first year in a while where I'm at least at this point, knock on table, where you're not sitting there thinking, oh man, the deadline, they got to get this and they got to get this and they got to get this. Now it's kind of what the deadline is kind of supposed to be. You know, around the edges.
Yeah.
You know, you get that key second left-handed reliever, or you get a nice bench bat, you know, who can hit lefties or things like that.
Oh yeah, and I think this last playoff run was also beneficial in the sense that America got to see what the environment's like to play in Seattle and play for this team, and it became a place that people want to go to. And I think you're going to see that closer to the trade deadline. I think you're going to see, when they make the moves, you're going to see guys more open to coming out to Seattle.
That makes sense.
And on top of that, you guys have always been maybe not like pumping them out as much as you are now, but you guys have always been a team that can draft well. A lot of your major guys, a lot of your major names were guys you drafted, and even the ones you guys traded for that weren't originally guys that were yours feel like yours.
Yeah.
Or felt like yours.
That's a good point. Okay, so of course we are up against the clock, so now we move along. What were you asking about opening day memories?
Absolutely. I'd like to get everybody's perspective on what they remember about opening days. I'll start off with something for mine from 2007 was something that I got to experience with Felix Hernandez, who is a current Mariners Hall of Famer, looking to be by the end of this decade, potentially an MLB Hall of Famer. And I got to see his first ever opening day start in 2007. And then we went on a string of he did 11 over his career, but he ended up pitching against the Oakland Athletics, 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, took them down, you know, really good, and showed what he was capable of doing over the course of his career. And he made a really good history of performing on opening day, especially in front of the hometown Mariners crowd.
Nice. And what do you got there, Mr. Caleb?
So part one would be, 'cause it's short, back when I was in high school, myself and Ryan Black would sneak and watch baseball on the computers when we could at school on opening day. And it was back when they had less control of being able to block websites and keep you from doing stuff at the schools and stuff. And so we could sneak in that as well as March Madness and even do both.
Kind of funny now that you're the paraeducator, you know all the tricks, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not putting that by you, because I know lots of kids want to watch baseball now on their computers
absolutely.
At high school.
Absolutely. And I was a little lenient with the basketball and the baseball. You know, if they were getting their work done and things like that, I wasn't necessarily hassling them, but if it was all they were doing. Because I'm going to admit, I watched the Mets today in class.
I know, you're wearing your lid. I got to give it to you for that.
Yeah, yeah. And shouts out to Carson Bain, or Bench, sorry, for hitting a home run in his debut in opening day.
Nice.
What a memory.
And that's at Shea.
Yeah.
Right. City Field now.
City Field now. Yes.
Carson Bench, not only showing off him being a top prospect setter for the New York Mets, made the team out of spring training.
Yes.
And not only that, but pushed Juan Soto out of right field over to left field. So a guy who came in on the richest contract in the history of baseball and pushes and 1 year later is getting pushed over into slide over there in for this rookie. And he balls out on the first game with a big home run.
Yes.
And a big win against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who they jumped all over the reigning two-time NL Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, with no help from his outfield.
Yeah, I was going to say they jumped over his center fielder,
but knock
in
him,
the same inning,
knock him out before the first inning's even over, and that's something I'm sure maybe a little message over to Ryan Black about.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, oof, we know tough day on the hill.
Yeah, we know a big Pirates fan. Yeah.
So. I would say mine is, I was there in 2001, sat up in the third level. It was one of the last rows before you looked over and there was no seats or nothing, just the abyss in left field and left third baseline left field, and got to see Ichiro's first ever U.S. hit. And it was so cold, so cold. We had heavy coats. Sweatshirts, yeah.
Didn't feel like baseball.
Have my parents and my two kids. Oh, yeah. But Ichiro, the first like two times to bat, looked really overmatched. He whiffed. And then I think on both, or at least the second one, looked really bad. And then the third at bat, he had hit a dribbler and beat it out. And then, of course, he steals second and steals third. And maybe that was the fourth at bat, and the third one was the clean single. But anyway, two hits at the, you know, his last two at bats, two runs scored. They came from behind and won.
What an insane.
And of course, that started that whole year.
Yeah, but between the two different memories you guys have, Mariners' memories is amazing. But what an insane way to bat. Have you seen, like, his the way he would bat and things like that?
Yep.
It amazed me he got as many hits as he got.
Yeah, I agree. So now, but before we move on,
Skipped him. Oh,
yeah,
my
but
goodness.
He's not feeling it.
Oh.
He likes one team, one baseball team, just because it's the city of his other two sports teams, and then he doesn't follow it.
Do you mind the Guardians' name? I gotta.
No.
Your memory back when they were the Indians?
I have not watched one Guardians game since that's been their team name.
All right, so he's got his standards.
Nostalgia.
Let's talk about the WBC, the World Baseball Classic. I thought it was phenomenal.
So much fun.
So much, exactly. So much fun to see these guys. And they're out there competing. I love the time of year it is. And I just loved it. What about you guys?
It didn't hit for me as much as it did, you know, 3 years ago. With Japan and USA in the final game, it felt much more like everybody was involved in the competition that year. And this year, it could have felt that way, but one notable exception being the United States team that just didn't feel like they were all in with everybody else. They were in it for themselves, and I get that. I get it. I totally get it. Sure. Because again, you lost 3 years ago. You had your best hitter in the in the world against their best pitcher in the world, Mike Trout versus Shohei Ohtani, in a teammate versus teammate battle. And then coming up, this year, it just felt like, okay, we lost that one.
Well,
let's not mess around this year.
And there was a lot of body language going on. The U.S. was really, because the announcers were like, well, they're taking care of business. Anything other more than anything less than championships a failure.
Yeah.
Well, why do you have to be grumpy Gus all the time? I mean, you got Italy. You have Italy with an espresso maker.
And in the Armani dugout, jacket.
And whenever they hit, and the jacket. And whenever they hit a homer, they put on the jacket. And the first baseman, Pasquantino, would make them an espresso.
They'd slam it.
And they'd have to slam it. And then he kissed both cheeks.
Bro, they would be, they were hyped. They had to be jacked.
I loved that for them. I loved that for the eventual winner, Venezuela, the Dominican Republic. The Chechia team was really into it. And I love that for them.
Yeah.
But it's something about this, it really did take away from me, because I think I'm just so focused on the start of the baseball season, this upcoming Major League Baseball season, with what the Mariners have on their track. And even the Chicago Cubs on the National League side are looking like the favorites over there as well, at least to get out of their division. Mm-hmm. And this to me all took away from that. And I don't want to take anything away from the people who loved it, but it was really hard for me to take that as seriously as I think they were taking it, when I'm really focused and really wanting, to focus on getting the Mariners and the Cubs to that next level.
Wow, I'm the opposite, man. I loved it. I love watching all the Mariners play on the different teams.
Yeah.
There was almost always someone there, because the Mariners and Mets had the most, I think, at 16 apiece or 17 apiece.
Yeah, the Mariners had 17 players.
Minor leagues and majors, and I just love the stories. And I was with some of the smaller countries who got their four games of pool play, and it was cool for some of them.
There was just this feel to it that I can only describe by, I'm gonna shout out to some Harry Potter fans, but people that got to finally see the Triwizard Tournament on TV on the screen, and seeing those different countries come in with their different traditions and things like that, and you get the crumb, but you got Italy slamming espresso and having fun and things like that. Getting to see the different countries embrace that, it was awesome. And America's got to do that. We got to do better than Judge being captain.
Have some fun. Just have some fun. And it was for example, watching it with the wife, and that was fun for us because she loves the Mariners.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. But also, we started watching the World Baseball Classic, and she even noticed the final game, when they came out with the flags, and that was cool, both countries, and they line up on the baselines and get the camera on them to get introduced. So all the American guys, the USA guys, kind of tipped the cap or did the salute, which is fine. But then Roman Anthony for the Red Sox, though, just stone-faced it. He's the youngest guy on the team at 21. He just sat there like it was a mugshot. And then she even said something when he did it. And then later in the game, there was another picture or something of the U.S. guys, and he was doing the same thing. She's like, he's doing that again. Whereas the Venezuela guys were so juiced to be at that game. And when they won, it was fantastic. Salvador Perez, his last WBC, and it was just the manager's last. He even announced before the tournament that it was his last.
Well, I don't know. I watched James Paxton pitch for Canada. So
in
3 years from now, I'm not sure that will be, we'll see.
Yeah.
They might wheel him out there for that.
Well, that was supposed to be his last. So, but if it's anything like the music acts, like my Old Man Metal guys, they'll be back in a couple of years on a reunion tour.
I want to see the Canada guys drink syrup to celebrate their home runs.
Yeah, I mean, email it to them. They might actually have some fun with it.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. And I remember the first game or two of the pool play, Mexico had luchador masks they were wearing after they hit a homer. And it was just like fun. But I mean, these guys were so fun to have it where the U.S. guys just...
Boring.
Yeah. Well, and it's like... Like I said, it was just the body language, too.
Yeah,
well, they just didn't. And yeah, you're right. Judge, he has, you know, fantastic player, phenomenal player, but he seems to have the personality of a piece of paper.
Yeah, doesn't have any fun. He doesn't seem to have any fun.
Well, when you play in New York, I mean, come on, your boys, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. We were having fun today.
But yeah. Thanks, O'Neal Cruz. So, yeah, I don't know. I was really excited for it, James. And I think in 3 years, I'm looking forward to it again.
Well, I think in like 3 years, hopefully we'll have a different perspective because, you know, in between now and then, the Mariners will have taken care of their business.
Yes.
And maybe got to their part. And I won't have to, you know,
yeah,
have that big of a concern on
so
that.
So the cloud over your head was basically,
I want to get to, get to the games. I don't want to. And also there was all that controversy over, you know, the two teammates sparring. And I want over this. I want to get to the real games. I want to get to games that matter.
Well,
but I do, from the perspective of other countries, I am all in on that. Watching Venezuela win, it's just a different thing in the United States. We have an entire league. We're going to be doing this for 6 months. They're going to go back to Venezuela. They're not going to be doing this for the next 6 months.
And you're
so
right.
This is their one chance to celebrate. Yeah. The baseball teams are going to have a chance to celebrate, I don't know, every day for the next 6 months.
Yeah, well, so basically, and the wife and I were saying this too, Venezuela wanted it more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could just tell how they were getting after it. Their starter that last game, he went with four and a third, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, James made the best point. That was their World Cup. That was their championship.
And you're totally right.
So one more final baseball thought before we end the segment. Baseball again. We're back again. What's your favorite concessions? What is your go-to baseball concessions, guys?
Go, Macy.
Hot dogs, popcorn, and a Coke.
And I'm going with caramel corn.
I'm a nacho guy, and I got to have sunflower seeds.
Do you need the nachos to be in a baseball helmet?
That would be even better, but I mean, I'll eat nachos anywhere.
Well, what about you, Sonny?
As far as this year, I'm going to go completely off script, and I'm going for the chocolate mousse, which is the new one thing at T-Mobile Park this year.
All right, and on that note, we will be back after this word from our sponsors.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morrell Inc. at morellinc.com. That's morellinc.com.
Hey!
Welcome back to Cancer Review Sports Talk from the Coov. I'm James L. Crockett, wanting everyone who's hearing this right now to realize that it is prime kitten season. And they're going to start just having lots of kittens out there all over the place. And if you have a chance, you might hear the advertisements for that on our station quite a bit. You know, check out some of your local shelters and see if there's something you can do to help the explosion of kittens that you're going to see that are going to need good homes and going to need a lot of care. So check out Furry Friends Northwest, especially to see if you can help out any way you can, because they do have their spring auction coming up called Hisses Get Kisses. spring auction. See if there's something there you can pick up to support the local animal causes.
Hashtag get a gato.
And with that, I will send it back over to our host for the evening, Wireless Mike Koreski.
Thank you, Sonny. So we talked some baseball, and now it's time to talk some NBA. Things got really crazy a couple days ago with the owners voting on the two new expansion franchises, and they voted in favor of it. I don't know if it was unanimous or not, but the Sonics are coming back to Seattle, it looks like, and Vegas gets a team. So now, though, basically the NBA is saying, now line up your bids.
Right. They actually voted on whether they're going to have a vote in the future on whether they're going
to
have expansion. And then after they vote whether they will expand, then they're going to vote on the individual people that might want to shell out $7 to $10 billion just to buy into an expansion.
And then there will be panel interviews and a psych test and the Wonderlic. And then they'll look at their credit reports and make a decision.
Yeah, but you're right. They did narrow their search down. They're exclusively looking at both Seattle and Las Vegas' franchises, two areas that have a lot of things going on as far as the NBA. Of course, the Sonics existed for the time period that they did with all the success they had. But also in Vegas, the NBA has a lot of business down there. Not only have they done All-Star games down there, they have their summer leagues down there. They have done all
the Aces are down there.
The Aces with the WNBA team. And then, of course, the very successful Storm up there for the in Seattle.
And one quick note, Clay Bennett voted in favor.
Oh, bless him. Bless him. Did we get Howard Schultz's blessing on that as he's heading out the door?
He's
heading out the door to Florida.
It sounds like the quote they got from that meeting was like, it's not a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when this happens. So I think that's what's got everybody excited.
Well, yeah, and it won't be a relocation teams. Like they're exclusively looking at expanding into these two markets. So that is something that's really great. A reason to get excited. Absolutely. Sports fans in Seattle, get excited about it. But just remember, this is a vote. To have a vote.
Yes, and you get excited once you find out that they're going to be called the Supersonics as well.
Right, and in fact, that's where I was going to come up with you as well, because one of the terms when they were hijacked, left for OKC, was that they got to keep the name and the colors. And in fact, I saw a story that there is one place right now that is housing over, 50,000 pieces of Sonics memorabilia or something, including the trophy from 79, and I was just like, wow, this is housed up someplace.
You would have thought that would have, is there no NBA?
Yeah, it's almost like Indiana Jones or something.
Is there no museum for the NBA? There's no Football Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame?
Well, with the Sonics, and kind of the purgatory for all those years,
You would think they'd house it there, though.
They may want to, but I believe it was Greg Nickels at the time. He was the mayor of Seattle when he negotiated, the way for the Oklahoma City to break our lease here to move them and become the Thunder in Oklahoma City. That was it was going to happen. It may have taken a couple of years, but it was going to happen.
Like two more years.
It was going to happen eventually anyway. So in the agreement of being able to break that lease when they did was that they weren't going to let anybody leave with any of that. Not only the relics and the everything from the Seattle Sonics era, but also the name and the history. They have that agreement in writing.
And that's what I'm hoping, because if you guys notice, ESPN, when they show Thunder statistics, they'll last year, The Thunder's first championship since 1979. It's like, give me a break.
Well, and all the so they kept the retired numbers. So like you can't wear number 20 in OKC and things like that.
Well, and they've tried to over the years. They've tried to bring in Kemp and Payton, and and to his credit, Gary Payton said no. He said, I'm not going, and I'm not letting you do that.
Middle finger is fine with me on that.
Right, and if you go online and you try to search out Sean Kemp's numbers, and you try to search
OKC.
It is under OKC.
That's a joke.
And this is something, but everybody is in agreement on this. You know, all the resources of that, the NBA, that was part of everything that came along with this news over the last week. That was the second thing that was listed on there, was that Seattle will have all of that back.
Well, and see, Macy knows this, because when the Browns left for Baltimore, the same thing happened. And when the Browns came back, they were expansion, right? Yep. Was that with a whole new record book?
Yep. They kept all their old records, and that's why.
Oh, they did get to keep it?
Yep, and that's why it makes me so happy for all the Seattle Supersonics fans, because I can highly relate to that, and I've been calling for it for years. I was hoping maybe the Clippers would end up moving to Seattle because they're with the Lakers.
It was close,
But it's even better now
the Kings.
Get their own team to start over from scratch, just like the Browns. Yes, it's been rough for us ever since coming back, but the bottom line is, we're back. And it gives 25 to 30 players more people dreams to be able to play in the NBA of adding two more teams.
Well, and not just that, you have two more G League teams. Yep.
Oh, and the expansion draft, the guys that are going to get chances and opportunities, the guys that aren't expendable on other people's teams are going to get thrown in this draft and become weapons for these two new teams.
Well, yeah, they'll get their minutes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They'll get their minutes. I'm
excited to see who gets put in that draft too, because I want to see if some names get dropped.
Well, and that's the thing that gets me though, because if this goes down, it's not till 28-29, but I'm already starting to see stories of if it was today. It's like, why are we doing this?
No, but it's something that everyone
media.
Everyone in this room has experience and history with seeing. There is so much basketball talent out there. We've seen it at all levels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've seen it, whether we've been looking at the high school level, the semi-pro level, the college level.
Small college.
Overseas.
Or even overseas as well. Yeah. We know, and we've talked with coaches and organizations along that entire spectrum. And I know there's a lot of hesitance right now with some of the state of basketball, some of the play that we're seeing at certain levels, but it is not because of a lack of talent. No. There's plenty of talent to draw from, and there's all kinds of avenues to keep those ways of building even more talent going in the few years. That will not be an issue just by adding two teams.
Okay, and then let's hit around and get some Sonics memories. What do you got? Go for it, Caleb.
Well, I should start because I was a basketball fan when growing up, but because of the influences I had, you know, I liked my New York teams, but my family were Blazers fans. So the only real true memories I have were, you know, when they drafted Kevin Durant and everybody got excited, and then next thing I know they were in Oklahoma.
A year later.
It's not my best memory. It's not my favorite memory. I can give you that.
for a wee shaver, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. And along those lines, I know you can't see it since you're listening to us at the time, but that's why I wore my Kevin Durant jersey that I got that year when they drafted him. And you know, I've told the story really a couple of times about how I went to the last Sonics playoff game and I sat in front of Ichiro, and that's great, and I won't get into that. But as far as my best memory, and I watched a lot of Sonics basketball in the 80s and 90s, and my family is all from Chicago. I have a very large family from Chicago, but I've been living out here for most of my life. And this was this is before DVDs. This was before the internet. People forget, like, when the Sonics, ooh, right when the Sonics went to you know, there was no video chatting, forget so when the Sonics and the Bulls faced off in that NBA finals that year, and it was really looking like that was the way what it was going to be when the Bulls and the Sonics were going through their respective conferences, my family back in Illinois, forgetting that you know, I'm at heart a Chicago fan, right? But it didn't stop them from pointing their video camera at them as they're watching the Bulls, you know, go through the Eastern Conference and sending me VHS tapes of them celebrating it and making sure they knew that they were coming for me here in Seattle. And I'm like, I am not a huge Sonics fan, guys. It's like I do love the Bulls. I love the Bulls too. But you know, they did not spare me in that too. They made sure that I knew that Kemp and Payton and Detlef Schrempf were nothing compared to what they were going to have coming for us. So I still have those VHS tapes. I do not know whether they still work, but I have those VHS tapes that they would send to me.
So I would give you mine is the finals, the 96 finals. And I remember they were down. It was 2-0, I think, or 3-1. I think it was 3-1. They were down. It was the 2-3-2 format. They were in Seattle and they were down and it was not looking real good, but Nate McMillan came back for like the last two of the three games in Seattle, and he lit them up one night. They just destroyed Chicago one night, and he came off the bench, gimpy, basically one-legged, and he buried a couple of threes. Very Willis Reed, New York Knicks-ish back in the day, way back in that day. So, yeah, that was probably my number one, watching that and just seeing the crowd in Seattle just get in there. Because, yeah, that was MJ and the Bulls, and how dare you? How dare you challenge them? So that was cool. Macy?
Well, mine first, before I say my favorite memory, the moment that I'm looking forward to the most is I hope opening night Oklahoma City goes into Seattle. I want to hear the fans in that game.
I would love it.
How they react.
And I think they'll figure that out. The NBA's got to figure it out like football does. You know, football gets those right away beginning of next year, like when Russell Wilson left, Denver goes into Seattle. Yeah. Right away.
Seattle could beat him right away. You
know. Yep. Yeah, Jets, Packers.
I have that itch to scratch as well, but I actually do. I would like to propose that they have Portland do it. That'd be the first team. Because I would really like to cement
that back.
Yeah. Cement a rivalry between those two. I think it's the best thing that the NBA can do for this entire market is cement that rivalry.
Speaking of that rivalry, I want to go back because I think actually I'd like to change my favorite memory. Because my favorite memory was reliving that rivalry in NBA hang time back for the N64. Back when Isaiah Ryder, Cliff Robinson, and Arvydas Sabonis were on the Blazers, and you had Sean Kemp and Gary Payton on the Sonics. That was a fun game to play, and that was I would use Arvydas Sabonis and just whoop on Seattle.
Well, or NBA Jam, Kemp and Payton in NBA Jam. You could not be unbeatable.
I have the arcade game.
All right, so speaking of Portland, we need to get to the Blazers. A holy play-in, Batman. They are going to be having a home playoff game for the first time since 2021.
Yeah, they're drawing.
What's that?
Who do you think they're going to end up drawing?
Probably Golden State. I don't think Golden State gets out of that 10th spot.
It's going to be a grind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be a grind. One shot. I mean, we'll take it, though.
I mean, they vaulted themselves up to a potential legit playoff spot.
Yeah, they're in the 9, and they could be in the 8.
Easily be in the 8. Yeah. They're back up to a .500 record. Really great, great job over these last couple months to cement themselves as a playoff team.
Well, bad thing, though, is that, I want to get your guys' quick take on this, is that if they win and get into the playoffs, their draft pick goes to the Bulls, their first-round pick, because they owe the Bulls a first-round pick for Derrick Jones from a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, to take him off their hands. We'll take him, and you give us a pick. Okay. So, but if they get in the play-in and lose, they still get in the lottery. You know, if they don't finish 8th, they still get in the lottery and get to keep their pick. And some people are like, you need another draft pick because this is supposedly the biggest, most deepest draft since Wembanyama, 2-3 years ago, or before that was LeBron, Carmelo, D-Wade draft. That's what people are comparing it to. So, but I'm like, you don't have the money. The timeline's bad to be adding another stud in here because you've got other guys you got to pay in another year or two. So where are we at? What do you guys think?
No problem with that whatsoever. If you have an opportunity to make a run in the playoffs, you take every opportunity to do that. If you want to, you can get back in the draft if it's really that much of a thing. You can trade the next 5 years of draft picks if you want and get back in the draft.
I think if you have an opportunity to be able to do that without trading your future draft picks, your next 5 years of draft picks, I think it's worth considering, especially since, you know, you've got a put together team and you've got Damian Lillard on his way back. Maybe that's where you should be putting the focus.
Well, and you'll be losing like $22 million off the cap with the contracts of Robert Williams and Matisse Thybulle coming off the books. Macy?
Yeah.
I did say my favorite Sonic moment, though, was watching the X-Man, Dale Ellis, and Tom Chambers
together.
Oh, there you go.
Together. Oh, that was a big
those
three.
Those late 80s teams. Big fan of those 80s Sonic.
They can fill it up.
Speaking of the X-Man, let's transition over to a little Vancouver Bears talk. Yes. The Vancouver Bears started off their season 5-0. They've kind of run into a juggernaut over the last week. Facing the Seattle Superhawks, and they've dropped the last two games there, but they were just up in Seattle last night, where they were kind of celebrating the return of the Sonics, at least from the vote that they had that morning. And they also had an event there that had Big Smooth, Sam Perkins, X-Man, Xavier Daniel
at halftime,
and Gary Payton. I heard Sean Kemp was supposed to make an appearance. I did not see him, but I heard that he was supposed to be there, but he wasn't there at the beginning. They had a good big old press conference beforehand as well.
That was cool.
And it was really cool to see them celebrate what Seattle can do as far as basketball goes.
And lastly, we've got to talk WNBA really fast. Portland Fire, they've settled the strike. The Fire are going to happen here in what, a month or two? And they don't have a team yet. They just started hiring some people.
No, they got this done just in time. They ratified a new CBA. It's a 7-year agreement. It's going to take this upcoming season. The salary cap is going to go from $1.5 million to $7 million. They're going to be able to pay their players, and then over the course of the 7 years, it'll go up to $10 million.
And I think what the minimum $700.
The minimum salary is $300K.
$300,
but that's up from $66K.
Yes.
So and then the average salary is going to be about $600K. So the timeline, as we get kind of excited for the Portland Fire to return, we'll have April 3rd is going to be the expansion draft between them and the Toronto Tempo. And how they'll decide who picks first in that is whoever picks first in that will get the number 6 pick in the upcoming WNBA draft. And that'll happen on April 13th. And they'll kind of swap picks for that as well. And then finally, tickets now on sale. To get all your Portland Fire home games. The first home game is going to be May 9th, and they're going to be hosting the Chicago Sky for their first ever Portland Fire inaugural season.
And on that note, we will be back for our nifty third segment after a word from our sponsors.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc., Print, and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's morellinc.com.
Welcome back to KXRW Sports Talk from the Coup. We're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for coming along with us as we talk all the sports that we can handle and you can handle and the Coup can handle. And with that, I'm going to send it back to Wireless Mike Koreski.
Thank you so much, Sonny. And we got excited so much about the hoops and everything like that. We have not talked about March Madness yet. And I guess I want to go around the room and see what you guys, how you feel about it, how long it's been going on in your life. What do you think about it these days? And we'll go from there, because I see you guys on the phones checking your scores, and I got my bracket, or I got 10 brackets. I was kind of surprised with all the rally, all the pro March Madness. So, Caleb, well, how do you feel about it? What keeps you coming back? And as the game has kind of changed.
I didn't originally start out like making a bracket until I woke up that morning of, and I got a text in my coach's chat, and then and our head freshman coach, shout out Brian Hansen, sent in. He's like, all right, all of you guys got to fill out a bracket.
Or else.
So I filled one out, and then I got the bug, and I hopped on ESPN because I was waiting for the games to start so I could pay attention, so I could tease those guys, and I just started making more and more, and it turns out my better bracket was one of the ESPN ones and not the original one I put together. But that also goes back to more core memories of me and Ryan, you know, sneaking onto the computers at in high school and watching the games and stuff. So it's probably my favorite part of that.
Nice. All right, Sonny.
Well, I mean, even before you could watch games on 10 different channels and all those, I'm just a fan of brackets in general. Like, you give me a bracket and I'm going to be involved. I do not know 90% of these teams. I couldn't even tell you a single player on that team, but I have at least one bracket where I picked them to win. And that goes for all, you know, pretty much all 64 teams.
It's a good way to hedge.
And then, you know, just dating back to, I used to fill out brackets with my mom had a pool at work, and I would fill them out. And there was one year where John Wallace and the Syracuse Orange, that's right, I took that one down with that team. And everybody had to realize, oh, we just lost to a 15-year-old. And I was like, yes, you did. Oh, and yeah. I was, you know, I was into brackets before then. And I've had a bracketology fetish ever since then.
All right, Macy.
Yeah, I've been doing them brackets since 1988. This one is definitely the one where I did the least amount of watching and research. Like, I usually fill one out like that Sunday and watch the bracketology, listen to all the shows and everything, because it's hard to catch up with all the games during the season. But this one I went with watching nothing, and then just a night right before putting my bracket together. I mean, I still have three of my Final Fours left teams.
That's good.
Out of two brackets, but you know, I'm going for Arizona just because the head coach, Tommy Lloyd, was from my high school, Kelso High School. But do I know one player on the team? No.
So I guess I was big into it late 80s, early 90s, and kept watching things, even with small children in the first marriage days. Still kind of kept up, but the last couple of years, I'm just falling off. I think a couple of things, as far as the bracket goes, the playing games get to me, because it's like, because people have told me, you can still get in without that. And I'm like, well, there was one year, I think UCLA got in from a play-in and ran to the eight. Yeah. I think it was one year. And I'm like, well, how does that work? So, I stopped for that because I can't, from the Sunday to what, the Tuesday, I think is when they start. Yeah. I just can't recover. Can't get it put together because I'm a space case. And then also, I'm just, the college stuff's getting to me right now with the NIL, and it's like a new team every year, basically, because people are leaving, because, you know, I'm at a smaller school with Wazoo, or a poorer school,
It's like football.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say. Unless my squad, and I did keep up with some Coug hoops. I know I'm insane. And it was not fun this year. But I will still watch them when I can. They got that at the Pac got that agreement with CW or something to show a bunch of hoops next year with the new Pac-12. So I'll catch up on that. But when it comes to the big dance, I don't know. I know a few players that are on Twitter and everyone talks about, but I don't know teams.
I'd give it a little bit of time, and I think you might be able to fall back in love with it. I'd give it some time for them to do the same thing that football did, where these smaller schools kind of found their niche or found their way to keep up with the others. I mean, we just saw Indiana win a national title in football.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there's more opportunities for smaller schools like that in basketball. So I'd give it a chance. Give it some time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'll be watching more of the pack, and if my squad gets in there, then I'll be like, because they did what 2 years ago or 2 or 3 years ago, they got into the dance, and I filled out a bracket because they were in it. So and I picked them to go to the 16, and they got to the 32.
Is Gonzaga joining the pack?
Yes.
Hoops. That'll be fun.
You got it. And that's where I'm at with the March Madness.
Yeah, just don't ask me how my brackets actually are doing. But I'm not really a bracket of truth or a bracket of integrity guy. I fill out as many as I can, and also I also like to go back for those second chance brackets. That's where when those things became a thing, I said, okay, well, I mean, I'll fill out a few brackets that have like a 1 in 60 quintillionth of a chance to be perfect, but you know what? I can nail some of these second chance brackets. There, I can do it from the Sweet 16 on, and I do recommend that to people to not, you know, yeah, 64 teams might seem a little daunting to you, but if you can get some people involved with some 16 type brackets,
yeah.
Now let's go to in the rest of our thing. We got Caleb's roundtable question, and then it's NFL time. hit the round table, my friend.
First thing I want to put out is I've had a bit of a beef with ESPN and what's been available to be able to watch on ESPN, especially growing up with ESPN literally being the hub back in the day. They just announced, so we're losing all these major sports and things like that, but they did just announce that the World Series of Poker is back on ESPN.
Woohoo!
Just wanted to get get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, Jono just gave a fist pump, so he's pretty stoked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know someone else is.
I think it's great to have it back on ESPN as a live event broadcast. It's a multi-year agreement, so there's a lot of people that are in the poker community. They are very excited to have this back for them. They've taken some hits over the last couple of years, as poker community has, especially just recently. There was a card room in Texas that had been operating for a few years, and they had followed every law that they had seen, and they just got raided last week. The one in Austin did.
Oh, man.
Right. And they went in, and you know, people were playing, and they went and they seized all the money, and you know, they were just they've had to shut down the card club because of it. And this was, you know, again, they were doing everything above board. And so and it's not just the players, sure, poker players, fine, but there's people that were in there as a job. You know, they were the dealers, the staff, and everything, and they're just out of a job. And so this was like coming, this just came last week. So this is kind of people are feeling a lot better about how the poker community can survive when they have this thought about getting on ESPN and being out there on a national broadcast and whatever. It's that little extra benefit. And because a lot of people, they'll turn that into sponsorships or, you know, and so there are a lot of excitement about that, knowing that not only if they're coming back this year, but it's a multi-year agreement too. And so it's going to be like 100 hours worth of broadcasting. So, those usually aligned with some of the biggest boon periods when it came to poker, was being able to get on a platform such as ESPN for a long term, and also just to have that kind of breadth of programming.
Okay.
My next question, and we'll transition into the NFL here. There was an article that came out. Tom Brady recently had an interview, and he was asked if he ever considered coming out of retirement last season. And he finally put a lot of that to rest by saying there was a chance at it. And when he called and asked, The NFL shut it down. I think he was quoted saying they did not like that idea at all, with the emphasis on at all. And it gave me the idea, if you were able to pull somebody out of retirement, and they've got to be alive, to save your franchise, who would it be?
All right, Macy.
And it could be any franchise. It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite.
For my Cleveland Browns, it's, and I go for winners, and the, like, either Jerry Rice or Joe Montana.
Okay.
Because Rice, to me, is the greatest of all time, but that position has been a big Achilles heel for Cleveland, so that's why I'm going Joe Montana.
Interesting.
He never lost on the big stage.
I like that you went. I like that you didn't go with a past Brown, even. You went and found...
Jim Brown was alive.
You, well, yeah, yeah. That's true.
I would go with, for my beloved Mariners, I would have brought prime Edgar Martinez back.
Ooh.
A good 10, 15 years ago, I would have brought him back. Because he really, and there was a couple of those years, like James talked about earlier in the broadcast, that there was some pitching, but there was no hitting. Or there was hitting, but there was no pitching. And yeah, I remember one year, all five starters never missed a start.
Old Edgar.
For the Mariners, yeah, the whole year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. So they needed classic Edgar, greatest DH of all time.
Very, but some of those teams already had an Edgar. That's one thing. But
they didn't have the Edgar.
They did, but so I would like to actually propose. Yes, they had all those five starters, but they didn't have that one guy. And if I would take 95 Randy Johnson, and I'd put him on that 2001, you know, Mariners team.
That's a good one.
And see how it goes. Because I was just thinking about the whole
they needed
the whole opening day start kind of thing. And that 95 Randy Johnson was untouchable. And that's only because I was – the first thing I thought of, though, was a video game. And, like, if I could put Tecmo Bowl Bo Jackson onto any team, and then I can go for that. But, yeah, it'd be 95 Randy Johnson.
What's the past Mariner – that you would pull for this past playoff run? Who was the Mariner you guys needed the most to help in this
last
past
year?
This past playoff run, who would have been?
It is Randy Johnson. Just because they needed that one guy that can
could go put him up, brought him out long. Of the pen.
Absolutely.
And no rest. If you wanted one day rest.
Yeah. Right. If you wanted to go more of a relief pitcher, my favorite Mariners relief pitcher, Kaz Sasaki. Like they could have used an extra guy in that bullpen, because the pitching staff was not bad, but just to have that one guy you knew could come in and he'd pitch nine innings. If it was 150, 160 pitches, he would have went out there and did that.
So, okay.
And,
yeah.
Mine, I would bring back Jeremy Shockey. The New York Giants have had, we went and got Isaiah Likely, which I'm excited to see, but the New York Giants, have always been the best on offense when they've got a tight end that can flip the field. And Jeremy Shockey was the guy for that. You throw that ball up there and he's going to go and get it.
Yeah, with David Tyree and then Mark Bavaro on top of that. You know, you got that. You're a Jackson Dart's favorite friend right now if you can make that happen.
So it's time for some NFL. What you got, Macy? I know you've been writing it out.
Exciting Seahawk news. They will host opening day on a Wednesday, September 9th, the first time there have been a Wednesday game since the Cowboys and the Giants in 2012. And then also the Rams and the Niners is going to play on a Thursday in Melbourne, Australia, which is technically 10:30 in the morning in Australia on Friday.
Yes.
But it'll be a Thursday night game, so that's exciting. And the last part is RG3 made the U.S. Olympic flag football team, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Right on.
They'll be in Germany in August.
Well, I thought the old NBA guy, Rajon Rondo, was like the top-ranked flag football guy in the country.
Interesting.
Did
maybe
you guys
he'll
hear
be.
That?
Maybe he'll be his receiver.
I didn't know it was Rajon Rondo. I knew it was a classic basketball
Rondo
guy.
That's like,
interesting.
What?
Would be good at stealing, you know, taking the ball away.
Heyo, deceptive. So what's your take on the possible Baker Mayfield biggest contract of all time kind of deal? You've been following that the last couple of days.
I mean, great for Baker Mayfield, but I mean, how far? I mean, he's never made it past the second round in his career.
Two Pro Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, and he just took away his red zone guy, Mike Evans. So, and that's the easiest division in the NFL to win right now, and they still didn't win it last year. Carolina came in and swooped it right.
So, well, I guess there was talk after this year, they'll franchise him the next year.
He's a stat guy is what Baker is. He's a stat guy.
Ooh, saucy.
I'm an Oklahoma guy, so I'm always going to root for Baker.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm always get your bag, you know, because he's gone through the ups and the downs and the in-betweens. Yeah. What about Joe Flacco? He re-signed for a year the other day.
Yeah, re-signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, good for him.
But then the quote was he wanted a chance to start. And it's like, bro.
I don't know. Have you watched the Bengals and their offensive line? I think it's a high chance that he will get the start because Joe Burrow has not proven he can make it through that many seasons.
Are you saying it's the Bengals on the Bengals offensive line?
I think he picked that spot for a reason, and he knew that you know their starter doesn't stay upright very long.
If you want a chance to start, just go in your own division, the one team you haven't played for, Pittsburgh, because they have another old quarterback there as well.
Yes, are they?
He might have a better chance starting there.
Do you guys think they're going to go Rodgers or are they going to go Cousins?
They're waiting on Rodgers, and then with Cousins as a backup.
And he's right. Probably going to let them sit there and stew for a while like last
year. I'm hoping they go 0-18.
Well, but I do got to say, what a position for – is it Leonard, right? Riley Leonard, the young guy there. If you could be sitting in a room that could Will Howard?
Yeah, Will Howard.
You could be quite possibly sitting in a room that has Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins or either or and to learn from them.
That's a good point.
You could be sitting there with what's quite a room.
Well, and Cousins will give you the time and teach you, but Rodgers doesn't. He gives you the middle finger. Yep. It don't matter how old he is or where he is in his career.
He learned it from Favre.
He did 3 years or 4 years as his backup, not like a word. Yep. Yeah. But then he did the same thing.
Yeah, the thing he hated most about Favre.
He turned around and did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no love for A-Rod.
Talk about bags, though, as you mentioned. Getting the biggest bag of any wide receiver in history. Jackson Smith and Jigba signing a big 4-year extension with the Seattle Seahawks to make him the highest paid receiver in history, at least over those 4 years. But people forget that they already extended him for another year with that fifth year option. So it's actually spread. It's a spread over 6 years.
Yeah. It doesn't happen for two more years.
That's right. So it's more put down to about $33 million over the 6 years,
you know,
$120 million in guarantees for the reigning offensive player of the year.
I kind of felt I was all right with it actually, because I think they can keep the window open as a team for the next 2 to 3 seasons. And I think he was much more solid in the head than DK Metcalf was.
Right.
Amazing. And the true number one receiver.
Right. Amazing wide receiver room they've put together right now with Smith and Jigba, Cooper Kupp still at the $15 million level. And then they re-sign Rashid Shaheed and
they match
Jigbobo coming back. So they put a lot of resources, including Torrey Horton, and coming back as well.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. I like how we ended that on the draft. The future. So thanks you guys so much for listening to us on KXRW. And we appreciate you. For Caleb Roush, Sonny Crockett, David Macy Mace, and Jono, I'm Mike Koreski, and thank you for listening.